Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we'll be doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on April 20th, 2020, in my home office here in Columbia. And just so you know, some of this information in the podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast is filled with South Carolina COVID-19 news and stories. We have the latest news up front, followed by additional context, on-the-ground reporting, and also your voices. Yes, we want you to send us voice messages. And we end it all with a nice little wind-down section. And like I mentioned, we want to hear from you, so we set up a voicemail box to hear about your daily life, what you're doing to get by, and also maybe give us some tips or some things you think we should know about. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Include your name, where you're calling from, and just what's going on at 803-563-7169. Now here's the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 has leveled off in the state, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 124 deaths, and currently there are 4,439 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of April 20th at 4:30 p.m. Governor Henry McMaster announced Monday that stores previously closed on April 3rd, such as clothing, furniture, sporting goods, and craft stores, can now reopen, and they must adhere to social distancing protocols. Local governments also have the authority to reopen public beach access. McMaster stressed that this is a measured, gradual step and one that has been based on science and data. State epidemiologist Dr. Linda Bell explains how current data is making this possible.
On April the 17th, the University of Washington's Institute for Public Health Metrics and Evaluation presented updated modeling for all states, and for South Carolina, this indicates an earlier estimated peak for bed utilization, which is now around April the 15th, and the peak deaths that we may see around April the 9th. Together, these two projections indicate that the curve may have begun to level for us here in South Carolina. Modeling projections and data trends vary, and they can still change very quickly. And we recognize the need to be very, very cautious in relaxing preventive measures so that we don't see rebound disease activity. We're still learning about this virus, and we don't have a great deal of certainty about what to expect. Based on our current data, that we are consistently seeing a plateau in cases for a few days now, and that the risk of transmission, however, still remains high despite early indications of a potential plateau. As the restrictions that have been mentioned are reduced, it will remain absolutely critical that everyone continues to perform the recommended activities to stop the spread of this disease.
McMaster also created Accelerate SC, which is a coordinated COVID-19 advisory team to consider and recommend economic revitalization plans for the state. The U.S. Senate is set to meet Tuesday to pass an extension of the CARES Act based upon whether Democrats and Republicans can reach a deal. This according to Lisa Desjardins with the PBS NewsHour. Now, on Monday afternoon, Senator Lindsey Graham jumped on a Zoom call with South Carolina Chamber of Commerce President Ted Pitts and other members of the business community in the state. He discussed additional funding for the Paycheck Protection Program, reopening the economy, and what he thinks football season may look like this fall.
Okay, the number one issue on most people's mind right now is will we put money into the Small Business Administration Loan Program, the Paycheck Protection Program? I think we will. I think it'll be today or tomorrow. We're probably going to have to put some money into hospitals and some other things that Democrats want. I think we're trying to direct the money down to Main Street more. A lot of fairly liquid businesses, a lot of franchises were able to borrow. You can borrow up to $10 million, and it can be forgiven if you keep your employees on the payroll. And the goal, Ted, was to allow small businesses to borrow money to pay their rent, pay their expenses, keep their employees paid until business comes back, and to keep people off unemployment. The problem is you're making $23 an hour in South Carolina to be unemployed. That's making it hard for people to keep people on the payroll at $16 or $17. We got to fix that in phase four. But what do I see? I see more emphasis on community banks and credit unions. Some of the big banks were given priority to customers with bigger accounts who've been around a long time. you see some abuses where people with, you know, very liquid people borrowing the money because there's no means test to the money. We're looking for basically a reduction in revenue from the coronavirus mitigation measures. So I think in the second round, the money is going to be tailored towards smaller banks and people with liquidity problems. There's going to be a tightening up of the eligibility. We want to get the economy moving as quick as we can. But if we go too quick, we're going to have a reemergence of the virus. A little bit about the virus. It's three times more infectious than the flu. We had about 60,000 people die from the flu, but we've got vaccines against the flu. A lot of immunity being built up over time. We have nothing with the coronavirus. When you get drug therapies, which are around the corner, that means people won't have to go to the hospital in such high numbers, and the mortality rate will go dramatically down. There's a drug, Ritonavir, I think it's called, from Chicago, that had great effect on people who were severely ill. So when you get drug therapies, that will lessen the impact on the body, and that will people be less afraid, quite frankly. Then eventually a vaccine is probably next year, but a vaccine with drug therapies is what it takes to kill this thing. By the summer, I hope we're in phase two, where non-essential businesses can be opened up in mass, that you'll still... at-risk people need to stay home. People have been positive, obviously need to stay home. But the key to this is testing. BMW, for example, for them to open back up an assembly line, they're going to have the ability to test most of their employees. And we're not there yet. So I think by the summer, we should be into phase two here in South Carolina. There'll still be some social distancing, but it will let restaurants actually begin to operate. So if you're in Myrtle Beach this summer, I think the tourism season will probably be half of what it was last year if we're lucky. And the goal is to keep the government loan program available to you until we can open up the country. I think that comes in the fall when we have therapies and eventually a vaccine. I just don't see life being back to normal until the fall. And then I don't see football stadiums full. The key to getting back to a new normal will be drug therapies and testing in large numbers to be able to re-energize the economy.
Tough news for any Gamecock or Tiger fan out there, but hopefully things will change and hopefully we'll be able to get out there and tailgate and go into the stadiums this fall and enjoy some beer in stadiums for the first time, huh? Right? Can't do that. But Graham also said he expects a fourth round of stimulus money to be approved sometime in May or June with some extra money in there for infrastructure. So be on the lookout for that as we go forward. Steffi Kong is unlike any other senior at Converse College in Spartanburg. She's originally from Singapore and has survived two previous pandemic diseases, SARS and H1N1. Now, South Carolina Public Radio's Scott Morgan caught up with Kong as she looks forward to graduation and avoiding COVID-19.
A month from now, Steffi Kong was going to be draped in the same black satin gown as the rest of her fellow graduates. But as it will be for a lot of colleges in 2020, Converse College is foregoing its May 16th celebration, opting instead for a virtual ceremony that has been rescheduled for a formal ceremony set at least for now for August 29th.
It's kind of a bittersweet feeling in the sense that, yes, I, like most of my fellow peers as well, we feel, you know, disappointed and upset that we don't get to, you know, actually go through the process, the ceremony, which is kind of like the highlight of our 4 years, you know, working so hard and getting that degree.
Hang on to that sentiment. We'll come back to it in a bit. For now, it's probably better to discuss Kong's degree path, which seems rather prescient in the spring of 2020. She's a double major, biochemistry, you know, the science of how chemicals like, say, medicines and vaccines interact within the body, and psychology, you know, the science of how the mind deals with situations it gets handed. Kong is aiming that double major right at medical school, which she has applied to and hopes to begin this coming fall. But if her degree path seems a little spot on in the midst of a pandemic, know that this is not Steffi Kong's first rodeo.
I've actually had two viruses before. The first one was actually the parental strain of this COVID virus. It's called SARS. And then because of that, my immune system was very compromised. 3 years later, I had H1N1, which was the swine flu.
In 2003, Kong was a little girl in Singapore. Singapore reported 238 cases and 33 deaths from SARS in a country of a little more than 5 million. That's roughly the same population as South Carolina in a country less than one-tenth our size. When the H1N1 swine flu broke out a few years later, Kong was in much fuller company. About 270,000 Singaporeans got it with her, which helps explain why she hasn't gone home to see her family, something she'd really like to be able to do.
My parents and I were saying, like, what's the increased risk of me going to these transit cities, especially now with flights, there's no more direct flights because of the whole situation. So I definitely have to transit at like four different big cities, like in the United States and Japan or Italy, Europe. And that's going to increase my chances of exposure.
So Kong is staying in the States for now, which leads us back to something that she was looking forward to doing here, which is taking part in the graduation ceremony that she's spent 4 years getting to. This spring was to be the penultimate all-female graduating class at Converse College. The Spartanburg-based school announced in February that it will, after more than 130 years, go co-ed for the fall of 2021. So Kong was to be among some of the last to walk with a women-only graduating class. She says that some of her classmates are quite upset to not have the ceremony. Some, for instance, are the first in their families to graduate from college, and those families were looking forward to being there for the big moment. But while Kong is disappointed, she sees a much bigger picture.
As I think more about it and reflect more about it, graduation is like the highlight of the 4 years, but that's not, you know, the main thing about 4 years. Like, that's only like probably 2% of their 4 years. There are other memories and experiences that's going to stay with us for the lifetime, and that's what really matters.
As mentioned, Converse College is planning to hold its spring commencement ceremony just in August. Whether Kong attends depends on whether she's still here. She might be back in Singapore by then. Or, as she really hopes, she might be away at medical school.
And I recently visited McLeod Regional Medical Center in Florence, the hub of the hospital system, which has hospitals from Florence in the heart of the PD to the Grand Strand. I spoke with Chief Medical Information Officer Dr. Brian Frost about the challenges COVID-19 poses, including to those in rural areas, and how the hospital is addressing it.
So over the last several weeks, we've been preparing for that influx of patients. One of the things that we have done is we've created a call center where patients can call in and figure out if they meet criteria to get a test or not. The last thing we want to do is have patients come into the emergency department or into our waiting rooms. And so what we've done is we've set up tents throughout McLeod Health. All of our different hospitals have one. And we have the patient arrive safely so that our staff can go in and take a swab if that's needed. We have that set up throughout all of our hospital areas. So a patient may call from Seacoast or Loras to the central call number, and then we're able to direct them to the closest facility and the tent so that they get the swab that they need. Really, the challenge is accessing healthcare. There's a lot of people who are, because of fear, are foregoing seeing their doctors. I've talked to several physicians who their patients aren't coming in for routine health checks, and that does put patients at a disadvantage when you're social distancing and you can't get in to see your doctor. That's why we really think this McLeod telehealth platform has allowed patients to get access that they otherwise wouldn't be able to do. A lot of patients are needing refills on their prescriptions, or they're needing to discuss unrelated issues from COVID, regular medical problems that they need to be able to speak with a physician, and we've provided that through McLeod Telehealth.
As for how it's affecting the medical staff, Dr. Frost had this to say.
It has been stressful, and it has taken a toll on certain members of our staff, but overall, especially emergency departments, intensive care units, staff, that's what we do for a living. We're used to that kind of a stress. And in some ways, there's a camaraderie to being able to get together with your colleagues and have a place to discuss things and kind of go through this crisis together. So it has been stressful, but at the same time, we have a really good team that sticks together and encourages each other. So it's been a good time in some ways.
So it's good to see, again, that there's plenty of options out there. There's telehealth options out there so you can consult with your doctor so you don't have to go in for a checkup or to get necessarily work done. But again, like you hear from Dr. Frost, stressing to use telehealth services and not putting off seeing your doctor entirely. Definitely check in when you can. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Are you a small business that couldn't get money under the Paycheck Protection Program? Or do you work for one of those bigger small businesses that did? If you are a small business owner, tell us about your experience in navigating all of this. Tell us at 803-563-7169. Again, give us a call at 803-563-7169, and you might just get on the pod. I mean, you probably will. Okay, let's check the machine.
Hey, what's up, Gavin and AT? It's Towner McGill down here in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. I'm just taking an afternoon walk around my neighborhood to return some phone calls. Staying real busy with work. The world of chemical distribution and manufacturing is still quite busy. But unfortunately, I had a bike accident last week, so I'm spending my quarantine time with a broken arm and a sling, figuring out how to dictate emails on the Microsoft Outlook and cook scrambled eggs in a pan with one arm. Hope you guys are doing well. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Towner, that is just brutal, my friend. I mean, I love scrambled eggs too, and I know it is a two-hand sport there, so good luck with that. Dictating, oh God, and then you probably get something like misdictated. I'm sure your pronunciation is going to be great at the end of this, right? Where you're like spell things out and speak very clearly to your His Microsoft.
Diction. His diction's off diction, the chart. Yeah. Now.
I don't know that word because I don't have good diction. As you can all attest. But very sad to hear that. And I guess, AT, do you have any idea what potential things Towner could cook with one hand? And since you are a resident cook?
I mostly cook with one hand.
Yeah, I've seen this. Yeah, it's talented.
Yeah, I mean, I'm struggling to think of anything I cook with two hands right now. But I don't know, maybe a nice soup, a nice minestrone, maybe?
I
chicken piccata? Steak a pois?
You could do pasta one-handed. Oh, that's brutal. I mean, you can do the Instapot. That's where I live, Towner. So
yeah, Gavin is about the Instapot, and that's a good actual idea.
Ever since that Post and Courier article about AGEs, man, I don't do the high heat.
We don't know what kind of money you're making chemical distributing, Towner, but that check, you could probably get a few Instapots.
Yeah, hopefully that plummeting oil price isn't affecting you too much.
Yeah, buy some oil now, sell it later. You maybe buy a new arm, totally.
But I guess this weekend I did make some different things. Speaking of cooking and trying my hand in the kitchen, I made myself a little olive tampinade because I was on a big crostini kick because I was on a big Italiano kick with like aperitivo.
Listen to this guy who thinks he's better than us.
You know, he gets it's spritz season.
Crostinis.
So, oh, man. So I had my Campari and my drinks and, you know, my aperitivo. It was like a little Italian happy hour at Gavin's house this weekend.
I love it. Yeah. Bellissimo.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, me? Tonight? Well, I just made my first soup all time. I'm not a soup guy. My wife wants a soup, a 15-bean soup. And tonight I'm making a bolognese.
Can you name 15 beans? Don't do it right now.
There are lentils in there, and I don't know if those are beans. But I am making, hot take, Lee doesn't think lentils are beans. also, I'm making a lasagna tonight. So, yeah, come at me. We're going to fight a lasagna fight. I will win.
Yeah, and I also got through part of Alien Resurrection. Such a difficult
The worst movie
watch.
All time.
Such a difficult
The worst
one
movie
watch.
All time.
I had to stop because really bad. Westworld came on. Thank God I had to stop. Westworld, so incredible. Only gets better.
Also bad.
Not bad. What are you talking about?
Bad.
You watched it.
Okay. If anyone wants some soup, I have a lot of soup. So
yeah,
send us.
Yeah, no more Westworld hot takes, though.
send us.
Yeah, send labeled. Us your favorite soup recipes because, you know, nothing says springtime to me like soup.
A hot soup. Yeah. So if anyone wants some, send me labeled Tupperware and I'll send it out to you. Take it away, Gavin.
Labeled Tupperware with the self addressed stamped labeled Tupperware.
Exactly right. Take it away.
Yeah. Thank you. And for all, any soup needs, again, call us at 803-563-7169. And thanks for tuning into the podcast. You can keep up with the latest on scetv.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Also, don't forget to support your local newspapers. They're out there on the front lines covering this as well. And once you get your fill of the news, take a break, go for a walk, just like Towner does, like you heard it. I'm getting my 10,000 steps in a day. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for the latest. And I'll also let you know if the governor is holding a press conference that day, which is always carried on SCETV and South Carolina Public Radio platforms, usually around 4:30. Now, we are here for you, our lead community, throughout this situation as it continues to develop. We are in full-scale hashtag lead, laugh, love mode together. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Who is in my studio?
Is it you? Is it you?